This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The argument that an international meeting of central bankers this week is actually important and interesting.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Grand Tetons are self-evidently majestic, but there are other reasons that anyone connected to economic policy around the world will keep an eye on Jackson Hole, Wyoming later this week. The top brass at the Federal Reserve will be there along with their central banking counterparts from across the globe. Joining us with a preview is Philip Swagel, professor at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, who was assistant secretary for economic policy at the Treasury Department from 2006 to 2009. Professor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, David. It's my pleasure.
Now, you might think watching a gathering of central bankers to be like watching cement cure or something, but this group can move markets.
Oh, they sure can. Chair Yellen by herself can move markets, and I think that's what people expect on Friday when she speaks at the conference.
When Dr. Yellen's predecessor Ben Bernanke spoke at one of these Jackson Hole gatherings a couple years ago, he talked about ratcheting back Federal Reserve stimulus and capital started flowing out of emerging markets, currencies started to fall.
That's right. I mean, the governments of some of those countries were really mad at him for doing exactly that. I expect Chair Yellen to do almost the opposite here. I think she's going to give a defense of easy money, that she doesn't see inflation, she sees the labor market is improving but still weak, and many people still out of work. And as a result, she's going to continue with low interest rates, zero interest rates, for a considerable period going forward.
Of course, that's the great tug of war in economic policy, how tough, how hawkish to be about inflation.
And there have been voices within the Fed, some of Chair Yellen's colleagues, have been uneasy about the Fed's zero interest rate policy and saying, oh, you know, look, we need to start normalizing. And that's what I expect her to push back on.
I don't know if you saw this, but Bloomberg News is reporting that while often captains of Wall Street get invited, the guest list from Wall Street seems a little circumscribed this year. Not a lot of Wall Street people have been invited.
It's interesting. In the past, the economists from the various large banks have been invited, and this year they're not included. It sure is a sign of the times.
All right. So this extravaganza doesn't begin till later in the week, but we'll be watching. Philip Swagel at the University of Maryland, thank you.
Great. Thanks very much.
Franchises, everything from fast food restaurants to plumbing companies, are getting a lot of attention from lawmakers in California right now. A bill that would make it harder for parent companies to sever agreements with their franchisees just passed in the state assembly and can soon pass the state senate. Chrissy Clark from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk reports on what the bill could mean for franchise owners and the workers they employ.
Keith Miller owns three Subway sandwich shops in Northern California. He says he loves his shops, but not the power his parent company has over them. Under current California law, a franchisor can terminate a contract for any breach, even something small like
fingerprints on the window, because that's in the operations manual. You must have windows that are clean and fingerprint free.
Miller supports changing state law so that contracts can only be severed for, quote, substantial and material breaches. He hopes that'll give franchisees like him a little more power in the relationship. It's a hope shared by one of the nation's big labor unions.
Pass SB 610, paid for by the California State Council of Service Employees.
They argue that if franchise owners have more control over their businesses, that will benefit workers, too. But there's a danger, argues Matt Haller with the International Franchise Association.
If franchisors can't maintain that level of experience for consumers that they've grown to expect, that's really going to be detrimental.
To the corporate brand, he says, and the franchisees who profit from it. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. Today, Steve Ballmer of Microsoft fame and the new owner of the LA Clippers is hosting a rally at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. The first 2,500 fans to arrive at the arena will receive a free Clipper Nation t-shirt. Beyond little free shirts, what does the $2 billion purchase price, a record for a basketball team, mean? Sally Herships has more.
This is going to be a happy story because the Clipper sale means there are a lot of winners.
Well, certainly Donald and Rochelle Sterling.
The team's original owners who bought the Clippers decades ago for $12 million. That was Andy Zimbalist, a sports economist at Smith College. He says the team and the NBA are also winners.
Because having a retrograde, embarrassing owner who won't spend money on the team is not good for the whole league either.
Even the NBA commissioner comes out looking good. That's according to Kevin Zanny with Willamette Management Associations, a valuation firm.
Because he gets rid of Sterling without having to force him out through the legal means to do it.
And finally, there's the team's new owner, Microsoft billionaire Steve Ballmer. Andy Zimbalist again.
If Mr. Ballmer didn't have $20 billion of net worth, I would say that this is an awful purchase for him.
But he does. He doesn't have to worry about getting a return on this investment. So it's a win. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And in Shakespeare's The Tempest, there is a pun on dollar, meaning money, and dolor, meaning sadness. Revenue at Family Dollar stores has fallen short of expectations, producing a dolor among shareholders and employees lately. The other week, competitor Dollar Tree offered to buy Family Dollar. And there's news today that Dollar General is offering more than Dollar Tree to buy Family Dollar, about 5% more per share. To review, Family's the vulnerable one, and General's offer is currently more than Tree's. Got all this? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.